Good evening. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And that was William Vitalis singing Open My Eyes to the World. Well, we've just gone through the spring equinox, and I know so many people on the East Coast that are thrilled that we're coming into spring. A lot is happening in the sky during this time between now and the middle of May. So I have as my guest tonight Mark Dotich, our wonderful astrologer, and we're going to be discussing and telling you so that we can find out exactly what's happening with the astrology, with the upcoming Grand Cross and the spring equinox and all the good stuff. Good evening, Mark.
Hey, good evening.
How are you doing?
Good, good. It's going to be a wild and crazy spring, I think.
Especially April. Don't you just love the nicer weather coming?
Oh, I do. You know, out here in Oregon, the buds have already been coming up and the flowers look like they really want to come out. And energetically, things are a little bit intense with my clients. So I assume that's going around on the East Coast as well.
Sure, it's going around the world. But, you know, I will say that we have had snow and more snow. We've had a snowstorm every 3 days since December, and we're expecting more.
So well, Elizabeth, you know I do relocation astrology, so it's been great for my business with people up in your part of the world saying, I'm ready to move.
There you go, and I've been sending them to you too. Okay, we have exciting things to talk about tonight, and I do want to start with the equinox, spring equinox, if there's anything you have to say, and then you can start leading us into the Grand Cross, because we're coming into it.
Well, and that's part of the thing is the intensity that's coming in April really started coming in late December. I'm sure people started feeling it with relationships shifting and, you know, it became hard to make plans because the world keeps shifting under you. What I call trying to grab jello kind of a time. Well, when we cast, yeah, well, for the actual equinox chart, which would be for the next 3 months, three of the four pieces of the Grand Cross are in play. So that's the feeling of sitting on a three-legged chair that should have four legs. You can do it, but you're always having to lean on that third leg, and it adds a certain tension. So, that's a pretty dominant theme.
Eric just sent an email, and he wants
say
to
that
know
again.
Eric just sent an email, and he wants to know the exact day and time of the Grand Cross.
Well, April 22nd is the exact day, and I wouldn't worry about the time because we're talking about these slow outer planets that spend weeks in the same degree. So really, I would be looking to say, you know, three of the four pieces are already in play. April 22nd, it's precise at 13 and 14 degrees of Aries, Libra, Capricorn, and Cancer. But obviously, it's going to be extremely close in the 2 weeks that are before and after April 22nd.
Yes, because I think especially after. To me, the energy happens before the action. So we have to have the energy come in first, and then you'll have your action.
Well, and I've found that that's varies from person to person. The example I always like to use with clients is some people feel the full moon before it's actually full when it's building up energy. Mm-hmm. And I'd have to say that's true of most people in my subjective experience. But you also get people who don't feel it until it is full. Or I even used to date a woman who was born later than, you know, the due date. And she always got the transits late. So there is some variance.
That's something to follow up on, isn't it? Well, you know what I think is, I think that it's 3 days in and 3 days out that the energy's there. And
absolutely. But nonetheless, I think that it's most intense.
Something can happen, especially with worldwide leaders beforehand. A decision can be made, and then the decision can be announced after. So it's a whole bunch of things. So let's talk about the spring equinox first. What is that bringing to us? We just had it.
So number one, you know, the planet Mars, which rules our ambition, is going retrograde from March 1st until May 19th, retrograde being the illusion that it's moving backwards. Mm-hmm. And it's in the sign Libra, which is the opposite of its favorite sign, what we call detriment, in other words, uncomfortable. And so everyone's being called to, I'll have to put dissimilar words together here, peaceful warrior, assertively diplomatic, you know, things that just don't go comfortably together. But the truth is, we're looking at our relationships as who belongs in our life and who doesn't. And we're not just talking about our love life. We're talking about our business, our family, our workmates, is all going through some sort of a reevaluation to say, are we on the same page or are we not?
And that comes,
and of course, that'll go through.
That comes with scolding and with being disillusioned with a friend, with saying, well, I thought I could trust him, but, and all that kind of thing. So it could even be that you change shopping at a particular store, right?
Yeah, and it could be as simple, you know, it could be as you know, unhappy as what you're talking about with, you know, we just become disillusioned with a friend. But it could also be they say, I'm done with the snow in the Northeast USA, I'm heading south, and you lose a friend because they move.
That's true. That's true. So that's with everybody. Is there anything worldwide with the spring equinox that you're seeing?
Well, certainly we've been seeing it build up with the Ukraine would be the no-brainer example of how everything's pulling themselves apart to be put back together, which is, as I say, at spring equinox, we have three of the four pieces that are building up into the Grand Cross of April. So just look how the Ukraine is being pulled apart and not a quick solution there.
Do you think that the... since the nodes are in Aries, correct? Aries and Libra?
Yes, as of last February, just a month earlier.
As we come in to this fifth exact square with Uranus and Pluto, that's also in Aries, and it's going to hit the nodes, so something karmic is coming. But do you think that this is going to, like, change a leader or wipe out a country or maybe have somebody decide to go to war or somebody do it behind somebody's back very fast? Because Aries is warring, is it not?
It is. And the way I would look at it is when you're looking at countries changing and big leadership changes, as I think you mentioned in some emails before we started our conversation, was what we called the Uranus square Pluto that is happening seven times between 2012 and early 2015. And that represents, usually when you're seeing countries or bigger changes, you see that over a period of time and you don't get as hung up as, oh my gosh, this happened on this specific date, because it's part of something larger, is at least that's my view on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree, but I also think
certainly,
I also think that things like the Pope being attacked for trying to change a belief system, or maybe the leader in Africa, South Africa, is having trouble trying to change a belief system within a country, would get them ousted. So there seems to be a Pluto-Uranus pull there. I mean, a lot of countries do that. They have a coup and they pull out a leader because they don't agree with him.
Sure. And it's quite complicated because they're 90 degrees apart, which is an uncomfortable relationship in astrology. And you see that in Ukraine, with one side is wanting a complete revolution and change, and the other part of the country is trying to stay a little more traditional in aligning with Russia.
Well, it seems like Russia wants to take the Ukraine back over again. I'm feeling that they won't
certainly.
Take it back.
I know it's a very complicated issue because if they do, they're going to get into a financial nightmare because Ukraine is broke, you know, financially.
But
taking on a welfare.
No, there's supposed to be some new discoveries. It's either uranium, some kind of a metal in the ground that they found is why they want the Ukraine for their benefit.
Sure, and the part of the Ukraine. It's certainly strategic for them. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, if you were to look at Vladimir Putin's chart.
Now, how did you get that? That's great.
Calling it up.
Oh, goodness. That's wonderful that you have.
I'll have to look it up. But
that's okay.
Not only do I have it, I have accurate birth time, which is, you know, very rare.
That is rare.
So, you know, that. To spare the listeners all the astrology, his son in Libra is at the same degree that this grand cross that's forming, you know, starting at spring equinox and strong in April is. So he's getting it from four different directions.
When you say that to me, that's karma because of the node. So his life could be in danger if that's true, or his position could be in danger. And he got it by being very clever last time. I don't think he was really voted in. He pulled and maneuvered to get back in, Putin did. So there's something that's going to be happening with him for sure, I would think, over the next 3 months.
And I would actually go as far as to the end of the year, because I know you're not looking at the chart that I'm looking at, but his south node, which is what we would call a past life position, is in Leo, which is, hey, I'm the king here, guys, is in the degrees of Leo that are going to be activated by Jupiter late this year. And, you know, when the south node is activated in a chart, a person is called to let go of something.
Right.
Whether that's let go of power or let go of whatever it may be.
Now, Jupiter moves into Leo in the middle of August, but it probably would take hold.
Actually, it's either July.
Oh, okay. It would take hold at the 0 degree. I don't know what degree his is, but as soon as it comes up to his degree is when the timing would happen. And I also feel that
would be later this year.
Later this year. I also feel there's something going on in South America. I think both Venezuela and Brazil are going to have internal upsets, and there's going to be a lot of battling going on there. What do you think?
Well, in running the what's called the astrocartography maps for the equinox, there is very definitely a challenge that goes through Venezuela and then right down through the middle of Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and with these maps, what you do is you look at action zones, and what that means for some parts of the world, it can be political changes. It can also represent earthquakes or volcanoes or some sort of massive change. And the thing about this equinox I think is real significant is the area of Malaysia that the plane went down is also an area that's heavily activated by this equinox.
Oh, interesting. And, of course, I see a lot of interesting action with Brazil. And I've been saying that for a while because people are surprised because they don't see it. But you know, there's something going on down there, and whatever it is, it's going to enhance Brazil, and it's going to advance them and bring them more to power. They're going to get some kind of power.
There could be that, and there could also be power struggles would be the other side of the same coin.
Yes.
In the map for the spring equinox, going right through Brazil is Pluto, which is power and transformation, Uranus, which is let's throw a revolution, and Jupiter, which says let's do it big.
Right.
So a lot going on in Brazil this spring. I should add.
Yes, of course. I feel an awful lot with Earth changes. I think we're going to have an earthquake in Upper California. I think that we're going to have an earthquake over near the Ukraine. I saw that a while ago between the Ukraine and Turkey. I see action in the ground, and also in upper East Coast, maybe Vermont, New Hampshire, the St. Lawrence River. So I see earthquakes coming. I see a big one also in Chicago coming down the Mississippi. So there's going to be a lot of that, and a lot of the mudslides. And up in your area, I see fires. Washington and Portland, Oregon, I see a lot of fires that are spreading beyond California, having to do with
this energy.
Well,
when we talk at the summer solstice, there is going to be an awful lot of what we call the fire element being very strong in the charts for this summer.
Right.
And that is usually hot and dry and windy and fires. So
yep.
We'll definitely have that conversation come summer.
Just last year, I predicted all the rain. And look at the rain we've had because of Cancer, Jupiter being Cancer. But now we've got Jupiter going into Leo, and we've got the Saturn moving into Sag. So that's going to bring out some stuff that we're all going to have to deal with together. So what do you think is going to happen with businesses and with medicine?
Well, certainly... when we get to this summer, you know, Jupiter moves into Leo, which rules the heart. So I think as we get closer to summer, we're going to start seeing more issues with either heart disease or cures for heart disease. Because usually when something happens, you see both the good side and the bad side.
Oh, cures
the
would
need
be
for
wonderful.
Well, and usually you see both sides of the coin, though. You see the need for the cure, and you also see the cure. Mm-hmm. And so I think as we get closer to summer, we're going to start seeing more having to do with a heart. No question
well,
about
speaking
it.
Speaking about the heart, let's listen to William Vitalis now. He's going to sing a little bit about the heart. He's going to sing Moonlight on My Window. And we can get into some gentleness, and we can also talk about the wonderful second new moon in March when we come back. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. We'll be back in a bit. Well, that's one of my favorite songs by Mr. Vitalis, Moonlight on My Window, and I enjoyed that. And my guest tonight is Mark Dodich. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and we're talking about the Grand Cross affecting the world, and we're talking about the new moon in March, the second new moon at 9 degrees Aries, I believe. Is that right, Mark?
It is indeed, and that means it's going to be right next to the planet Uranus, which is let's throw a revolution, or let's try innovative new concepts, or let's invent something new.
It could also be an explosion, like a war starting or an explosion. I'm not intending to be negative, but since I'm feeling it's Aries and reminding that it's a war planet, we've got a lot going on in the world right now. So we need to start the prayer work to just make it a new project or something with energy.
Absolutely. And you'll see the full range with this sort of thing. I mean, when Uranus moved into Aries, that was the exact date of the Japan earthquake.
Oh, you know? Interesting.
And so, so here this new moon in Aries is aligned with the sun, which means the sun shines light on something.
Mm-hmm. Well, that
and
could be bringing
it makes a 90-degree angle.
Yeah, bringing out lies, and that's going to happen with the United States presidency with Obama. There's going to be some lies coming to the surface.
Well, certainly with the CIA spying on the Senate is certainly going to raise a few eyebrows.
Mm-hmm. I know we don't know what
it is. But that's usually getting more into...
I know we don't know what it is, and I know that we're going to have to, you know, wait a day or so to find out. Actually, we're pretty close to it on the 24th, but it's getting exciting, and I do believe that there's going to be some kind of a court battle with the presidency or with the administration in some form.
There's no question that... certainly with midterm elections will be coming up later on and all the dirt's going to start coming up. And of course, you know, I know we'll be talking about eclipses today. Mm-hmm. The eclipses tend to dredge up whatever's hidden below the surface. And, you know, that's April.
And isn't that our first eclipse markets in Libra, right?
It is. And the thing that's interesting about this one, I know astrologers, we get all weird about stuff like this, but back in October of 2013, we had the first of the Aries Libra eclipses. So they run mm-hmm. in polarity. And okay. that was at the opposite degree, like 25 degrees of Aries. And now here we have this one at the exact opposite, kind of like bookends or the exact opposite side of the coin. And so, number one, if people are looking at how they're balancing their individual needs versus their relationship and sharing mm-hmm. needs, we know we're in like a 6-month process of saying something's being realigned or rebalanced.
Right. And it could be your money. It could be the banks, because I think something did happen with the banks in October. And I'm remembering that we had something with the national debt or with the FDIC. And it became stronger. Housing became stronger in October. So it could be part of that as well as anything else.
That, and of course, that was also when Obamacare crashed and burned with all the websites. Mm-hmm. And now we're at the other side with, of course, at the end of March is when the penalty deadline comes up.
Yeah, well, we're not going to make it.
So you're seeing both sides of the coin.
Yeah, we are. And I do think that that's going to be that's going to be postponed, probably because Mars is retrograde. Now we have the two eclipses. We have the April full moon in Libra. Then we have the April solar eclipse in Taurus. That's towards the end of the month. That's right after the Grand Cross. Am I right?
It is indeed. And it is the, just as we said with the Libra eclipse on April 15th, tax day, the one at the end of April is at the exact opposite of the Scorpio eclipse that occurred last November. So Taurus is about your values. It's about manifesting your needs and desires. Mm-hmm. And a solar eclipse, of course, is a new moon. So people are being called to the depths and saying, we need to get all the clutter of all the stuff of our life and get down to our core soul priority and say, what is our true values? What is our true core soul level priority? And to be bringing that out into the world.
And you know what, Mark, that doesn't happen easily. Usually you have to get a slap across the face, as I say, because of my generation. You have to get scolded. You have to have a loss before you're going to look at what you need to look at. So there's got to be some kind of a jarring effect.
And that's where the Grand Cross of April comes in. It tends to rattle the cage to get us out of our comfort zone to say, wait a minute, there's got to be a better way, or it's time to step into a new way, or it's time to go beyond your fat, dumb, and happy comfort zone and step into something larger.
Yes, they're going to call you up, Mark, and they're going to say, you're so fabulous, we want you to start a television show, and we'll pay you such and such to do it. That would be stepping out of your comfort zone.
I just have enough trouble doing YouTubes.
Yeah, me too.
Let alone the whole show.
I think something's coming with Queen Elizabeth at that time. Let me share that. I do feel that that the Duke is going to be very ill, and I think this is her last year reigning, and she's going to pass it on to Charles. And then I don't think he'll be in very long. I think he'll be in 5 years or less, and then it will be passed on to William. Both reasons have to do with illness and sickness, and so we'll have to see if that does happen. I've been saying it for a while, but I'm picking April as the time of action for it.
I know that the solar eclipse at the end of April at 9 degrees of Taurus lands very close to the Soul Destiny North Node of Prince Charles. We'll see how that plays out.
See if I'm right for once, huh? What's the most important thing that you see with these two eclipses, Mark?
Well, it's clearly a shifting of the gears of the universe. Because, as you know, the eclipses go in the same polarity of signs for about a year and a half, and they are finishing up their run through Scorpio and Taurus, mm-hmm. where people have been healing old wounds or letting go of deep old stuff, and Taurus about stepping into values or saying, what are the new values that I want to bring into my life? And then the shift is now the eclipses are moving into Aries and Libra, which is individuality and partnership, and where do I share and play nicely with others but not lose my sense of self? Where do I need to make compromises but, you know, keep my uniqueness?
Well, I always say that
really a big shift.
When somebody is used to being on their own, whether it's an only child or the boss of a company, and we have these kinds of eclipses, this kind of energy coming forth, I think that they have to be taught to share, and taught to share without the ego and without jealousy, sharing for the common good. This is what we need more of in this country, and we don't have it. We have everybody thinking of me only, the me only society, and as long as I don't get in trouble, then I don't care what happens. And I think we're going to have a shift, and we're going to have more unity. We actually could have some upsurge with the country over the way it's being run. What do you think?
I think that's inevitable given what's going on with the Uranus-Pluto square. I think it's inevitable, and it's the way we do relationships that is going to be a key to this. Now, I don't care if that's a person's personal relationships or if that's the way the Republicans and the Democrats work together in Congress that needs to shift. Clearly, I'll give you an example. I just have a client who has been separated from her spouse for the last 12 years.
Oh my goodness.
And never, you know, got out of it, and finally is deciding, I can't do this anymore. I don't care what it costs, because there's some security issues going on, financial security issues.
Right.
And she says, I don't care what it costs. I'm done. I need to move forward.
And well, that's good.
This old paradigm is holding me back.
Yep. So that's separation, but there's also could be a coming together, because what I also see, Mark, and tell me if I'm right, is that people that have been separated but have been hurting over, whether it's a mother and a son, or whether it's a sister and a brother, or even two sisters, would reconcile and have a very warm and loving reconciliation and finally be able to sit down and talk about the issues and come to a point of understanding. So it can be one or the other, right?
Yeah, it could go either way, because as you say, some of them will come together and they'll find a way to work together. But there's going to be others that are just going to say, you know what, this just doesn't work. I need to stop fighting it and walk away.
Yes,
and I think you'll see both sides of that coin.
Right. Hopefully we'll see some of the nicer ones. I'm also feeling a change in the schools. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm changing the subject. I'm also seeing a change in the schools, and I feel that there's going to be more watchfulness in the schools, and I feel that we're going to start finding out that parents sometimes do not discipline their children correctly, and that they become afraid of their children, or another way is to be an absentee parent. And there's problems arising in the schools, and I see some kind of a change in the curriculum of school. What do you think?
Well, you know, as we've talked before, the planet Jupiter, which rules higher philosophy and higher education, is moved into the sign Cancer, which rules children, back in late June of 2013, and stays until the middle of July 2014. And so I think that the whole philosophy surrounding how we deal with our children and education, and, you know, a perfect example of this is that they finally got around to changing the SATs to bring them up to more modern speed, shall we call it? And so it was a change of philosophy in how we're doing education is going on during this 1 year period. So yes, absolutely.
And I'm also finding out, much to my chagrin, that they're changing history in the school books. They're really not even talking about the Holocaust or World War II. And I think that's going to be discovered more and things are going to be corrected. And that's interesting.
Yeah, you know, that whole thing is complicated. It's some of the young people I know just don't even care. They don't even know who President Kennedy was anymore. I think, gee, am I that old? You know.
That's all right. Somebody asked me if there were four Beatles or three, and I went, what? Oh, my gosh. Well, right now we're going to have to take a break, and we need to listen to some messages. This is Elizabeth Joyce on Let's Find Out, and my guest is Mark Otish, the famed astrologer, who also does relocation charts if you're thinking of moving. Mark, what is your website?
The website is www.astromark.us, astromark.us. And, you know, my quarterly newsletter is there for them to download, which has the information. It's like a 4-page pullout on the Grand Cross.
Oh, that's wonderful. We'll be right back after this.
Wisdom Magazine is one of the East Coast's largest free publications, with more than 1,000 distributed bi-monthly in three regional areas, New England, New York City and New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Wisdom is dedicated to opening the people's hearts and minds to the philosophy, products, and services of the new millennium, bringing love, peace, and positive information into the community. Elizabeth writes the astrology column for Wisdom, as well as a weekly astrology update for the Wisdom Magazine website. Visit us at wisdom-magazine.com to view our web edition. The X-Zone is a late-night internationally syndicated radio, television, satellite, and internet talk show, which deals with a variety of subjects, but usually ones that relate to the world of the paranormal, metaphysics, and the science of parapsychology. It was created by the Canadian broadcaster Rob McConnell and first aired in 1993. The X-Zone airs 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern Time, and is distributed internationally by the X-Zone Broadcast Network. It is hosted by the show's creator and executive producer, Rob McConnell. The X-Zone radio show is located in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. The X-Zone radio and TV show is the only Canadian radio show that is syndicated to a truly international listening and viewing audience via conventional professional broadcasting and satellite means, not only the internet. The X-Zone is syndicated on an international basis outside of Canada and has more than 400,000 listeners as an international audience. Listen for Elizabeth Joyce and Rob McConnell on the X-Zone at www.xzoneradiotv.com. Opening your spiritual chakras is the next stage of your physical body's shifting reality. Your body is now merging with your etheric or universal body and the new spiritual chakra centers. You will begin to experience a realm of many vibrant prismatic colors and dancing energy patterns will emerge. By opening your spiritual chakras and merging with your universal body, you will come together in marvelous ways, and new spiritual powers will begin to emerge into your body system. The chakras are your major energy centers, and they allow you to transform your physical body and integrate with its spiritual body to function properly in the new fifth dimension energies. To accomplish these complex intertwining procedures, the spiritual hierarchy intends to bring forth 4 additional chakras as soon as possible: the 8th, the 8.5, the 9th, and the 10th. These four new chakra centers will permit you to manage the immensity of multidimensional information inherent to your new physical body. The physical body will be walking in sync with the universal body. In addition, the four spiritual chakras will transform the other seven, thereby allowing them to take on many new responsibilities. Elizabeth Joyce has created a new CD to help you open your spiritual chakras. This is very valuable and is one of the primary ways needed for you to begin the ascension process and work well in the fifth dimension energies that are now coming onto the planet. In addition to the four spiritual chakras and the seven regular physical chakras, there is an extra chakra, the foot chakra, or the zero chakra. This is your earth grounding center, and it is located at the balls of your feet. Above the crown chakra are four more numbers, 8, 10, 11, and 12. The main purpose of these extended chakras, which has always been a part of the energetic field, including our aura, is to enable the individual to tune into his or her inner God self, the divine will, and even the galactic community that surrounds and supports the earth in its evolution. This is a CD that you will want to have and work with on a daily basis between now and December 21st, 2012. It is available here at bbsradio.com under the Let's Find Out page, as well as Elizabeth Joyce's personal website, www.new-vision.com. Be sure to get the CD, Opening Your Spiritual Chakras, with music by Richard Shulman, so that you can advance yourself and find security in these new, wonderful fifth dimension energies. Again, that's www.new-visions.com or bbsradio.com under Let's Find Out.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com, Station 1. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. Let's Find Out and our honored guests come to us every other Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you would like to call in and ask a question, please dial 888-627-6008 in the U.S. and Canada. Again, that's 888-627-6008. Now, if you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety, a podcast will be available tomorrow, and you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with our host, Elizabeth Joyce.
Is it a headache or someone wishing you ill? Is a sudden change in behavior due to drugs or the influence of evil? Do you find it hard to pray, to reach out to God? Psychic attack is more common than one might think and is a malady that can be overcome by specific metaphysical and spiritual treatment. Elizabeth Joyce clearly explains what the symptoms of psychic attack are, where it comes from, how you can overcome the attack, and what simple exercises and meditations you can do to protect yourself from future attacks. She compares psychic attacks from days gone by with their modern counterparts and illustrates with anecdotes and examples. Is there any such thing as a ghost, and can they harm you? Can other people's negative and destructive thoughts harm you? If so, you can take steps to protect yourself from these energies. Although you would seek and find help with any physical emergency, this book, Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce, can be helpful by your learning good spiritual practices for clearing away negative energies and keeping up with the housework of the soul. Then, if something overthrows you, there are some good strategies at hand so you can begin to remove them. Learn what to do as well as what not to do. Elizabeth Joyce is an expert on ghost busting, and she has been to court on many occasions helping people get their money back from the gypsies and so-called psychic stealers. This is a book that you'll want to pick up and keep in your library because it's a how-to book as well as an informative book. Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce is available at Amazon.com as well as the website www.com. new-visions.com. Be sure to pick up Psychic Attack. You will want to hear Elizabeth's personal story as well as get this great information that could be helpful to you and your family in the future. Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce.
Upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to
And that was When You Wish Upon a Star by Linda Ronstadt. We're wishing upon a star tonight because we're talking about my favorite subject, astrology. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and my guest tonight is Mark Dodich. So, Mark, let's talk about how the 2014 energy is going to influence us through the summer weather.
Well, on the weather level, really, I think we've all been seeing what the first half of this year is like. We've talked about several planets, Mercury, Venus, Mars, all being retrograde between December 21st, 2013 and July 1st. And that's the shifting weather that it seems like it changes almost every day. It's 60 one day and 30 the next. But clearly, when we get to July and Jupiter moves into Leo, that is going to bring hot and dry and windy type weather, which obviously is not good for fire season.
Right. And also, I wanted to say that those planets that you mentioned, most of them were in water. Is that not true? And Mars is in Aries. It's going to go direct. That's another fire sign. So we want everybody to be careful. Make sure you have your carbon monoxide things in your apartment or in your home. Be careful of the lawn. Be careful if you flick a cigarette anywhere. And just be aware that not only is it going to be fiery with fire, but it's going to be fiery with volcanoes. I know at least three that are going to erupt, two in Mexico and one in Italy. And it's going to be fiery with poisonalities, right, Mark? Don't people lose their temper more in the hot?
It certainly seems to be that way, especially Aries would rule actual anger, and Uranus is like sudden unexpected blow-ups. And then, of course, we'll have Leo that we'll talk about, which now good Leo is I open my heart and I step into leadership. Bad Leo is my ego gets engaged and then I can't see beyond my ego.
Well, we're going to have television stars obviously, and the movies. The television and the movies is going to be a lot of disruption. I see Ellen DeGeneres breaking up with Portia, and we'll be hearing a lot about battles and divorces and court suits.
Certainly entirely possible, and as long as they don't get their egos engaged, they can avoid them being too messy, hopefully. The other thing, since I wanted to go back. You mentioned water. In the middle of May, we're going to have a grand water trine, which means harmony between Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. May 15th is the exact date. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know if you've looked at that chart yet, Elizabeth, but, a grand trine for the listeners is what we would call triple harmony. It's help. But when I look at like the spring equinox chart, it would be interesting to watch what goes along right along the Mississippi River, because that's where some of these water planets are having their power lines for the spring equinox chart for the next 3 months.
Oh, that was in my predictions, too. In other words, that was in my predictions.
So does the Mississippi flood or...
Yeah. I see the Mississippi and the Missouri River coming together as one, and I see problems in Chicago because of it. But Chicago, when I was doing the predictions for 2014 on New Year's Day, Chicago came in so strong, and it's at the top, is it not?
It is.
That area.
With these lines that we use, there's a range of 300 miles on either side. So anywhere in that Chicago, St. Louis, Memphis, New Orleans zone.
Indiana.
You could even take those energies down into Mexico and Nicaragua if you wanted to carry that further south.
Well, I see it going into Mexico. That's interesting. And I also see a problem with New Orleans. We're going to have some serious hurricanes. Do you know that Miami could be wiped out? I see a Category 5 hitting Miami very hard. I'm going to tell you between August and October. I see it hitting very hard.
I've looked at the equinoxes and solstice maps and also the eclipse maps as for the rest of the year. And the place that seems to be getting slammed all year long is that whole Indonesia, Papua New Guinea. Every chart hits that part of the world for this year, 2014.
Yeah, well, they know. They've even said Indonesia announced that they expect another tsunami and that they're trying to prepare for it. And southern India has said the same thing, that they know it's going to hit again. So somebody's picking up on something, Mark. I think you're right.
Astrologically, certainly that Indonesia, Malaysia, Papua New Guinea region, the Philippines is just, activated at every point. So to me, that's, you know, when it keeps hitting you and hitting you and hitting you pay attention.
It's a pass up. There's going to be some kind of warring over in that area, too. There's going to be an upset. I think China's going to be upset. And I think our country's going to be upset with Indonesia as well. So we'll have to see what that brings. There's something about food and there's something about money and water, some kind of a plan that went awry.
Well, and I know if you stretch that a little bit further, that they're having political problems in Thailand right now. And, of course, on the islands that are between Japan and China that they've been fighting over for years, looks like a hot spot as well.
Yeah, so we'll have to see
what
it all
is. Some islands there that only birds live on.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's neat. I didn't really know that, but that's nice to... I love nature. I love to learn about that. But what do you see for the upper part of the country and going into where you live and going into Vancouver? There's something going on in that area too, but I think that has to do more with water and it could have to do with some fires.
Well, we've certainly had just in the past several weeks, we've had some pretty sizable earthquakes out in the ocean off of the South Oregon coast down near the, Central Oregon coast down to the California border, which is, you know, a known hot zone. When I look at these maps, it's actually the Alaska coast down to Hawaii, like the Big Island of Hawaii, which, you know, typically is volcanoes in Hawaii and earthquakes in Alaska. Fires anywhere in the place that we normally have fires, I think, are going to be amplified and worse. And that's certainly Eastern Oregon, Eastern Washington, and obviously as you get down into the states that always have earthquakes or fires, you know, it's going to be a big year for, I'm sure the people who are in the fire prevention business are going to have a big year.
Well, you know what's funny? It's a wonderful logging area, and we talked about something happening with the housing market, which I think is going to happen. I think it's going to slow down, but it could be because the fires stopped the logging activity and there's no wood. That could cause a delay or a problem as well.
Possibly. I tend to get a little cynical on the whole wood, you know, living up here in the Northwest as I do. you know, there's so many politics involved in that I wonder if the politics don't create more problems than the fires sometimes. Sorry to be cynical, but I was talking about Northwest wood issues.
I was talking about the natural disasters. Also, with the fire and the eruptions, you know, there's going to be two new eruptions in Yellowstone. I don't know what you call them. They're not necessarily volcanic, but they're the sulfur coming up out of the ground. I think there's going to be two new ones that would be similar to Old Faithful. And that's going to surprise everybody. Totally unexpected.
Well, we know that they've had some small earthquakes out there, so that could be an indication of something going on in the inner crust of the earth there.
It's like a pressure cooker. You'd rather the steam come out than there be an earthquake in that area because it's very vulnerable. So maybe that would even be something that would be man-made because you've got to let it out rather than it go under the ground.
Well, especially if it occurs during tourist season.
Mm-hmm.
Because can you imagine what a nightmare that would be?
Well, I see something going on there. End of July, beginning of August is the timing I'm feeling. And then and then in December, of course, we go into a new energy of Sagittarian and we go out of the Scorpio energies. What do you see at that transition? I know we're a little ahead of ourselves, but I've been wondering about that. What do you see at the transition as Scorpio ends? Because in our chart, the United States chart has a Sag rising, does it not?
You know, that's a matter of contention. I do use the Sagittarius rising chart, but, you know, there's a lot of some people believe it's Virgo. So anyways, there's a lot of conversation around that topic. But the Sagittarius is the common rising. Mm-hmm. I think the bigger issue is the fact that the USA's sun is going to be activated by this grand cross we've been talking about.
Right.
And then... But to peek ahead at the Saturn in Sagittarius, well, Sagittarius rules foreign places. It rules the publishing business. And so you can expect that, I imagine massive changes in the way the publishing business works.
Yeah, we've already started to have that.
Also, our foreign policy and how we put our foreign policy out, we're already reducing our military to be a different kind of military is something that's going on now.
Yeah,
and
I'm not
obviously
sure that's
when Saturn goes into Sag.
Right.
Now, on a body level, Sagittarius rules liver, lower back, sciatica, hips, and Saturn rules the whole skeletal structure of the body. So it will be interesting to see if there's maybe some new cures for lower back disease.
Oh, that would be great. Also, it does represent foreign countries and publishing. And you know, at least I do, since I have my own publishing company, that publishing is changing tremendously. And a lot of these snobby New York publishing houses are going to change because it's very hard to get a book published through a regular publishing company. And you almost have to have three of them, you know, sell a half a million before they'll let you do a fourth one, unless you're somebody famous. So that's all changing. And I'm thrilled that we have the Kindles and the people doing their own creativity because they're hidden under the sun and they shouldn't be hidden. They should be able to come out and say something, especially if they're good. And I think there are many that are offering more of their stories and their talents.
It'll certainly be interesting topic for when we talk at the end of this year, because that's the major shift of 2015, no doubt about it.
That's neat. Okay, so you're coming back on again in June. I believe it's June 9th. And that's going to be exciting. June 9th or June 23rd, we'll have you back on and talk about what's coming for the rest of the summer. By that time, we'll have all the news. I also, we were talking about Saturn going into Leo in August. I'm also seeing that there's going to be a change in government again, but it's because people are going to be leaving the planet. There could be somebody... you know, passing away. I dreamt about Joe Biden. I don't know how his heart is. And I also feel Kirk Douglas and a couple of other of the older stars, maybe even Clint Eastwood. So that's something we have to be praised about. But there's going to be more stars for the stars is my astrology column. When Jupiter's in Leo than at any other time. So we're coming to the end of the show, Mark, and I'd love you to give us a wrap-up of between now, March 24th, and as we go into May, June.
Number one, I would say to practice flexibility and adaptability and leave room in your schedule so that you can add things in as various crises or unexpected events come up so that you're not trying to pile yourself higher and deeper and making yourself crazy. Mm-hmm. Number two, you want to be looking at all aspects of your life. The Aries says I need to pioneer a new path. Libra says I need to share and play nicely with others. Cancer says I want my warm and fuzzies and nurturing. And then the opposite side, Capricorn says we need to make long-term changes, not just immediate changes. And so April does have a little bit of a craziness factor to it. So if you have people in your life who go off, you want to give them a little extra space so that when they go off, they don't splatter on you. Right. And then May still has a bit of that craziness, but it has some softer energy. And if May, you could make some space in your life for, well, going to a watery place, since there's going to be a grand water trine, you know, sneak off to the water for a little bit. That would be maybe a way to take advantage of that softer feminine energy that comes in the middle of May.
Would be very
common. Then lastly, we didn't really talk about it, but, you know, Mercury is going to be retrograde in June.
Right.
So rethinking how we do, it'll be retrograde in Cancer and Gemini. So how are we putting our head and our heart together will be a June conversation.
And I'm also feeling with all of this that there are going to be some structural changes in the family. And that could have to do with somebody moving away, a child going to college, maybe a husband gets transferred, or the parents moving in, or the parents moving out. There will be structural changes in the family during this time, which will add stress. So I want to say, be good to yourself and make sure that you get your walks or that you get your swim time or whatever you do to exercise and eat the right food so that you can go through this stressful time. Nothing is as it seems, and the plans you have can change in a blink of an eye. Isn't that true, Mark?
Expect the unexpected would be how I would say that.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us.
Expect the unexpected.
Thank you for joining us, and it's always wonderful having you on Let's Find Out. And we'll be back in June. Thank you, Mark.
This is
Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And next week, I'm going to be having a surprise guest, and we'll talk about that. That will be in April. And it'll be somebody that's going to be talking about the other side, somebody that will be introducing us to conversations with our dearly departed. So be sure to tune in for that. We are now going to have our meditation time. This is the shaman meditation. So it's designed to quiet you down and to help you project that which you'd like to bring in for the rest of 2014, because we're almost at this new moon in Aries, at 9 degrees Aries, and it's time to create something for you to do and get so involved in that it will be a wonderful success. Thank you for listening, and good night.
This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out, and now it's time to begin the meditation. The background music is Meeting with the Animals by Richard Shulman. Sit with both feet flat on the floor. Allow yourself to get very quiet. We're going to listen to Native American prayers. Earth, Teach Me to Remember by John Yellowlark. Earth, teach me stillness as the grasses are stilled with light. Earth, teach me suffering as the stones suffer with memory. Earth, teach me humility as the blossoms are humbled with beginning. Earth, teach me caring as the mother who secures her young. Earth, teach me courage as the tree which stands alone. Earth, teach me limitation as the ant which crawls on the ground. Earth, teach me freedom as the eagle who soars in the sky. Earth, teach me resignation as the leaves which die in the fall. Earth, teach me regeneration as the seeds which rise in the spring. Earth, teach me to forget myself as the melted snow forgets its life. Earth, teach me to remember kindness as the dry fields weep in the rain. Cherokee prayer blessing. May the warm winds of heaven blow slowly upon your house. May the Great Spirit bless all who enter there. May your moccasins make happy tracks in many snows, and may the rainbow always touch your shoulder. Prayer for the common man. Stand tall like the trees. Live strong like the mountains. Be gentle like a spring breeze. Keep your heart warm like a summer day. In this way, the Great Spirit will always be at your side. And now meditate on the earth, and on the earthquakes, and on the earth changes, and on the earth destruction that we've recently experienced. Meditate on the earth and bless her, and send her the white light of healing. Pray that the earth is centered and perfect while supporting us and all of life as we know it. Send your prayers out for world peace and ask Mother Nature to open her heart as we enter the new era of 2012. Lokaha Semistaha Sukhinu Pavandu. We pray for peace. Lokaha Semistaha Sukhinu Pavandu. Take a deep breath, fill yourself with the white light of the Holy God, and know that you are the center of your life, and that you honor and respect while walking our planet Earth.